Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Bring a little sunshine indoors with the exciting new arrivals in store or online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You are very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannan with you until 3 o'clock today. I'm going to go straight over to Darren now. Darren, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Darren, very well. And just to say, of course, I know you through work, Darren, but you contacted the programme because of this incident that happened with your brother, this very upsetting incident that happened with your brother yesterday. Tell me a little bit about your brother, Darren.
Well, Clifford has special needs. He's got a learning disability. But despite that, we've always sort of tried to include him in everything as an equal. So this goes with everything from trips out to the likes of Emerald Park or for go-karting or quad biking. He participates like everyone else to the best of his ability anyway. And we've always tried to maintain sort of an equal. He's never been condescended to or treated like he has any disability. And it's the only way he kind of likes to be. To be treated amongst friends and everything, it's the same way. So this is from a very early age. So,
what age is he now, Darren? Do you mind me asking?
47.
Right.
So from an early age, he's always been treated in the same way. But he has a quite an obvious learning disability.
Yeah.
And again, as I say, we ourselves have never treated him any differently to anyone else. So. It's kind of the way we'd expect everyone to. So that's just why yesterday was so upsetting to myself and my children, my nephew.
Okay, so tell us, you were on a day out. You were going for a day out to Emerald Park.
Yeah, so we were heading out. We generally try to head there maybe once a year, and again, Clifford would always be part of that group that goes out. And at this particular time, I'd booked the tickets the day before, and it's a slight bit of a difference. Once I booked one of the tickets, which was guests with additional needs pass, which is just generally what we do is we book that. I got a letter in return just stating that accepted forms of supporting documentation to bring with us. So, one of them was a named associated membership card and a GP letter and a few other things. I just thought they were kind of things to tick boxes for themselves and that they'd use discretion once you arrive at the gate.
Yeah, I'm just looking at what is pops up when you actually book one of those additional needs tickets. It says accepted forms of supporting documentation include but are not limited to, and you say a named associated membership card for an additional need, for example, As I Am, which is, of course, the charity for autism, or Down Syndrome Ireland. And also it talks about a GP letter with the name of the guest or hospital consultant, letter, photo ID from a recognised association, etc. So you saw that, but it didn't worry you too much because, as you say, you'd been before.
I'd been before, and I didn't think they'd even look for it because, like I said earlier on, it is, it's somewhat obvious that Clifford has additional needs. So I would have thought it would have been just like, oh yeah, there's, this is the guest that's got the needs and off he's go. Normally that's all it ever is. And I mean, we regularly take trips out as a group, with Cliff and with the rest of the guys, his nephews. And it's never, ever been questioned or ever been a problem. And it's not something that's ever, bothered us because we'd always assumed everyone, they're generally really, really nice and accommodating to Cliff. But on this occasion, it wasn't to be. And it's why, to be honest, I was so annoyed.
So tell me what happened. You arrive at Emerald Park and what's said to you first and foremost?
So we arrived at Emerald Park. They scanned the tickets and they said, OK, you've got an additional needs pass here. Yeah, can we see some form of identification and documentation? And I thought, I had read it, so I said, look, I'll take out everything he has in his wallet. So he had his travel pass, companion travel, free travel pass, which itself would sort of, what I would have thought would have been sufficient.
But, because you only get, sorry, just to be clear again, if people aren't familiar with it, you get those travel passes if you have additional needs and need to have somebody with you to support you.
Exactly. It's not something that's easy to get either. So, I mean, it's not something you'd be using to blag into somewhere either, because you really, you do need to have special needs to get this, because it's a travel, you know, across all public transport. Mm-hmm. And it obviously requires someone to be with him. So the pass is, you know, it in itself would suggest that he has a special need. But on top of that, I had a couple of other cards, and one of them was his Special Olympics identity card, membership card, should I say.
Yes, because we should say that Clifford actually represented Ireland in the Special Olympics.
Yes, he did in golf a number of years back.
And I'm looking at a scan of that card now, and it's basically it's photo ID. It's got Clifford's mm-hmm. photograph on it. It's clearly an official card, and it's obviously linking him to the Special Olympics. Says he's a member. And what was the response to that?
That wasn't sufficient. They said they needed a doctor's letter or documentation to confirm his diagnosis of. His diagnosis of this disability, which I'd never heard of before.
So obviously, am I right in saying that this was a disability that Clifford was born with?
Yes, yeah, he's had it all his life. It's a, you know, a learning disability that would have been probably first noticed in his, you know, maybe the age of three to 4 years of age. And obviously he's had it since then, so... it's not something that you go to the doctor about. It's a learning disability that he's had, so it doesn't get treatment. He doesn't have anything bar the special education that he's gone through. He doesn't have any other ailments physically or that.
So I'm just imagining the scenario now. You're standing at the entrance to Emerald Park. You've got, is it your nephews with you and
yeah,
Clifford?
My nephew and my two children.
And your two children and Clifford.
And Clifford, yeah.
And Clifford is witnessing this discussion about...
Yeah, he is, and he's, you know, he can see I'm kind of annoyed at this stage. Now, I'm cognizant that the person that's requesting this is doing it based on what their policy is, and it's not to do with them. So I was, you know, as I was visibly annoyed, I was trying to restrain myself from saying anything more. And plus the fact that I had asked her, I said, like, I've got no more documentation. I said, what do you want me to do? Do you want to have a talk with Clifford? Or do you, you know, and I said, do you want to do an IQ test? I don't know what you're requiring here. And I said, I don't know what the doctor's going to give me either. And she was like, no, well, we need some documentation. I said, I've given you documentation. Again, this is probably the best topic documentation you can get in this circumstance. I mean, people carry this around with them when they have a disability. Mm-hmm. And she goes, well, okay. And I said, look, can you get me someone in management? And she goes, no, it's okay. We'll let you in this time, but you will in future have to bring that documentation to prove his disability.
How did you feel about that?
As you can imagine, I was pretty upset. And the fact that it was done in front of him, and like I'd said to you earlier on, Clifford's treated as an equal by all of us. All of his friends, all of our friends, family, everyone treats him as an equal. And he needs that. You know, he needs to be treated as an equal. And it's sort of, because he can have some sort of, he can have mood swings sometimes. And a lot of it we've noticed before is when people can be condescending towards him, that doesn't really go down. He does not like that. So yeah, you have to treat him as one of the equals in the group. And he is, you know, for all intents and purposes, he is an equal. We go together. We participate in all of these activities together as equals. And it's always been that way throughout my whole life. And my children have been brought up to do that as well. And he does participate. But at this instance, he was singled out and had to prove his disability in front of a person and in front of his nephews, which to me was humiliating. I mean, for him as well, and it, I can't say it didn't affect him, because it did. And like I said, he participates in all the time. He didn't go on any of the rides yesterday. He just didn't want to, and it's not like him at all.
Yeah, you think it? You think he just put him in bad form because of him?
You know, I can't say for certain, but he wasn't in the mood for going on any of the rides, which he would generally be. You know, he'd pick one of the nephews he wants to sit beside on the ride, and you know, it's always the way he does. Who do you want to sit beside? And he'd pick either Tiernan or, you know, Lucas or Daniel.
But he didn't do any of that yet.
No. He was reluctant to go on anything at all.
Sorry, just to say, because somebody's asking, where is Emerald Park? But of course, we're talking about what we used to call Tato Park.
Yes.
In Meath. Yeah. So a total, yeah, it just put a very sour taste on the day out.
It did, it did. And I was conscious that the people at the desk were not the ones who were trying to implement this. And I knew if I had gone to management there, again, that's not the layer of what would you call management that would have been responsible for any of this. So there would have been no point. I thought it would have been better to email them with, you know, my thoughts on the day and how humiliating it was for myself and my family and you know, especially Clifford.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the email that you got back once you booked this additional mm-hmm. Leeds ticket. And just to say, of course, there is a big difference in price. I suppose this is why they have a policy in place here. It's €25 for if somebody is getting entry into the park with additional Leeds and their care both go in for the €25 ticket price. Whereas I think it's over €40. Is it €43 for an adult ticket?
For an adult, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Now I had said, look, I will pay the full price for the both of us just to get us out of this situation. I mean, I was willing to do that. I honestly don't know what I would have done if it had been somebody that wasn't willing to sort of argue that, and they had a special needs member of family or someone that they had with them. What did they do? Did they just turn around and walk out with the person? Like, I mean, it says here that if someone from someone who's Down syndrome doesn't have an ASIAM membership card, did they turn someone around who's got Down syndrome because they don't have this? I just don't understand what it is they're trying to prove.
I'm looking at, I mean, it does look like they've a very high a bar here, all right, when I see accepted form. So I said the membership card from say Down syndrome or as I am, a GP letter. It says here, we require the supporting documentation reflects the guest with additional needs and not the care identification on its own. Well, you did have documentation that was for Clifford. Yeah. I said, if more than one care, that's fine. Then please note, we cannot accept public service, travel cards, PIP, I'm not sure what that is, carers allowance letters or DLA letters as independent supporting documentation, but they can be considered as supplementary supporting documentation. God, it sounds like you're applying for, I was just going to say, it sounds like you're applying for a visa. So you're talking about not just primary, but supplementary supporting documentation. I'm sure, I mean, Emerin Park can say it's there in black and white in their policy. You knew that, you were informed of that before you came. I've just been handed a response from Emerin Park here. Darren, can I just, while I'm quickly looking at it here, you did read that when you got that email, did you? Or you just thought, look, surely we've been through this before and there should be no issue?
But there was a bit of both. I did see it, but I do, like, he has a wallet full of any membership cards, anything he's ever been a member to. So I did have a couple of other cards as well, but they wouldn't have stated, you know, anything to do with disability. But I thought the Special Olympics membership card was a named associated membership card that would have been accepted, considering he represented Ireland in the Olympics. And I think you probably have to have special needs to be part of the Special Olympics if you've...
I was just going to say, there's no other way that you can participate, I assume, as a member, unless you actually have an additional need. I'm just looking at this. So Emerald Park, I'm just giving you an idea of what's in this. It's a brief enough statement. They say Emerald Park is committed to creating an inclusive and enjoyable experience for all our guests. They say they continuously strive to refine their processes to accommodate the diverse needs of our guests, working closely with our charity partners to stay abreast of best practices. They say they recognise that some guests may be unable to participate in every activity, and to address this, they provide this reduced cost ticket of €25 for guests with additional needs and their care. Their care is given a complimentary entry, which is obviously a very good policy. They say to avail of these tickets, we require supporting documentation to be presented upon arrival. The specific details are clearly outlined. I'd already set that out there. In addition, if guests ring our team in advance of their visit, they can be guided through what is required to ensure a smooth and straightforward process for our guests. They say, we believe these measures are essential to provide a safe and accommodating environment for all our guests and ensure those who need to use these specific queues the most are able to use it with minimum amount of delay. they say, unfortunately, our ticketing officers have been abused. Our ticketing offers have been abused in the past, and the requirement for documentation is to ensure those who need those tickets receive them. Now, you're saying it is absolutely obvious that Clifford has the disability that he has.
Absolutely, yeah.
So there could be no question of any attempt.
No, there's no question. Yeah. No, I mean, and the documents I did provide should have been well sufficient. I mean, anyone who's trying to blag in to get into a park, they will not have a travel pass with a photo ID on it, and they'll definitely not have membership to the Special Olympics. So these things alone should be like, oh, of course. And I imagine discretion is part of this, and obviously, if there is someone who's trying to blag their way in, it's where they have to sort of be more stringent with their accepted forms of supporting documentation. But in this case, I would have thought discretion would have been a better idea to use.
I suppose there are, to be fair, there are people with what you would call invisible disabilities that's not
absolutely
immediately
yeah.
apparent, and you can imagine then that they're left in about a difficult position if they're presented with that situation. But as you say, in your situation, there should have been absolutely no doubt and no questions asked.
Yeah.
I'm also seeing here that they offer a queue assistant passes. Did you ever get one of those, Darren?
No, we don't. Like I said, we don't like to sort of do anything that makes him stand out, so he'd participate in all the rides generally. Stands in the queue with everyone. There's no special needs, special treatment needed, you know, past there. But on this occasion, he didn't participate in any of the rides. He just had a burger and chips in the park, and that was about it. That's all he went to the park for. So
I just think, and I know, because I know of other friends who have a sibling with special needs in the family, and it does. I think it makes families very special. I don't want to sound anyway condescending, but I think people learn a lot of lessons from having a sibling that just needs that extra
yeah.
bit of support.
Absolutely, and it's you can see it even in my children and his other nephews and nieces. They all. The way they are around him, the way they treat him, he's, you know, it does show something in them that they become this sort of a different sort of a person around them. They're very, very caring for him, and it's lovely to see. Like,
it is, and as I say, I've seen it time and time again, and it's it does give you a perspective on life and an attitude towards people that will serve you for the rest
yeah,
of your life. And
it,
I know,
it does.
And I do think, and when you're then confronted with a situation like this, it is actually all the more upsetting.
Well, it seems like this dear guest letter that was with the document that was sent out was written by someone who's never been around anyone with special needs before. Never mind understanding what special needs are, and one of the special needs is to be treated like an equal. So this clearly hasn't been part of their thought when they were creating this new policy of theirs.
Yeah, and I just see the last line here. The team in Emerald, this is from the statement, the team at Emerald Park are always open to feedback and suggestions from our guests on how we can further improve everyone's experience. Will you hang on for a minute, Darren? I just have Suzanne on the other line. Suzanne, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie. Hi, hello, Katie. Hi, Darren. Just listening to what you were saying there, Darren. And I just loved, you know, what you were saying at the end about your nephews and your children. What they have is lived experience of Cliff and lived experience in their family. And that's why, you know, they know that there's nothing different. This is the person that they love that's in their family. Exactly. And so I think my point was about, you know, the difference that lived experience makes. My two children are 7 and just turned 9, and they're both boys, and there's only 18 months between them, so it's kind of crazy enough anyway mm-hmm. when we're out. They're also neurodivergent. They're brilliant. They're very funny. They're you know, they're just amazing children. They're autistic. They have ADHD. One of my children is also dyspraxic, and the other has a profile of autism called PDA, pathological demand avoidance. And what that means is for him, everything is a trigger. Everything sends him like kind of into a panic, and he masks so people think he's fine. He's fine until he's not fine. When he gets so anxious that it explodes into what I would have called a meltdown, what some people might call a tantrum, but I now know is a panic attack. And I'm his safe person, so it comes out when I'm around. So we will have a situation, for example, that we go out and he really wants a cake or an ice cream, and then the amount of choice, because he's terrified he'll make the wrong choice, he's very perfectionist, that will come out with him suddenly going into a panic and just going, I can't decide. And he's like, I want that one. I want the bigger one. And what that looks and sounds like to somebody who doesn't have lived experience is, my God, that's a terribly bad behaved child. So that's putting it mildly.
Yes. Yeah.
I know, and I've learned as the parent who loves him and knows what he needs, that he's having a panic attack, and it's my job to make him feel safe and to bring down that threat level for him. And what that looks like when I do that well is for me to say, it's okay, I love you. You can choose whatever you want. And if it's not okay, we can always make another choice. And I've learned that, and it's really hard. It's counterintuitive as a parent, because we're all brought up to go, you know, don't be like that. Don't make a show of me.
Don't make a show of me. Yeah, yeah. The Irish thing, the Irish mammy.
And I hear it in other parents all the time with all children.
Suzanne, what I'm hearing from you and also from Darren as well is that really we could all do, and particularly anybody in the service industry, with a bit of training from people who actually...
With a bit of training, people who've lived experience. Yeah. That's exactly... Sorry to put words in your mouth, yes. Daisy. But that's what I said. Like, so it's like... Sorry, go ahead, Darren.
As I say, Clifford's behaviour, it can be generally, he can go into himself and goes very quiet.
Yeah.
And that's what it seemed like yesterday.
Response. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is anxiety also.
Yeah, he kind of, you could tell it bothered him. He doesn't like to be singled out. He doesn't like to be made feel different. Yeah. So this was him standing in a queue while there was problems with his documentation to let him in. He just wants a smooth walking in the door with everyone else. He's, you know.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is that because he has sometimes he has mood swings, to get him to go, because we want to get him out of the house, you know, as much as possible.
Same here,
I get him to sort of say, I said, Cliff, I need you to come with me and help me with the boys. You know, I need another adult with me. And he's like, okay, because that's a job to him now. Now he's got a job. He's there coming to help me. Bring the kids to the park, you know, to Emerald Park, and that was his job. He was coming there. Then it kind of made him feel like it wasn't his job. He was kind of upset over it.
Yeah, totally. Because he was undermined, you know.
Yeah.
And I think, Katie, that point about lived experiences. I've had this when the person in the ice cream who's serving in this ice cream queue when other parents are standing behind me and looking at me full of judgment, and this. I've had a situation where the person behind us said, it's okay, I will go in the back and find the ice cream he wants. My nephew is autistic. And that's the difference. When that happens, you just know, oh my God, you get it.
The relief.
He's not bad. Yeah. You know
the relief
I'm not
of it,
bad.
Basically, that you're not being judged.
And I don't want to be that person to my children who's constantly apologising and saying, I'm sorry, you know, he's neurodivergent. It's like, I will not do that anymore because he doesn't want me to do that. And just like Darren is saying about Clifford, it's like, why should anybody be treated differently? It's about accommodation. And the only way that businesses are going to learn this is, as you say, learn from people with lived experience. So if they were to go to, like, a version of an access coordinator, I work in television and we increasingly have access coordinators on our production. To help, to understand that something is not going to become a problem. It's like we've got all of this covered so that it's not going to become a problem. And so the equivalent for businesses who are, you know, customer facing is let us listen to people with the lived experience. Do that as part of your customer training, because then you know that it's not, it's not a box ticking exercise of you need this form, that form or the other form. As Darren, as you very, you know, graciously said, you recognise it's not the issue with the person standing in front of you. But if that person was trained to have some understanding of the lived experience, or better still, you know, for us all to share our lived experience, that this situation wouldn't arise.
Absolutely. I mean, as to say how much, I can imagine they have figures for this, of how much of this is taken advantage of by people who weren't necessarily with special needs. But yeah. I'm sure you know, whatever that percentage is, this is outweighing us by having it on the live line, for example, an issue twice that's been brought up by people. Surely there's something to be said for the policy that they've introduced.
Yeah, and maybe they say they're open to feedback. So we're getting a bit of feedback today,
well,
Suzanne.
Also. Yeah. For the sake of like a few quid, I think there are very, very, very few people who are going to go through the kind of hoops that we go through, you know, to save a few quid on a ticket. And from a purely economic point of view, people like you and I will be going back to the places that we know gave our families a great experience. We're never going to go back to the ones that didn't. And, you know, that's the basis of this kind of, you know, leisure experience business. They need people to come back and spread the word.
Suzanne,
so the training and the lived experience is fundamental.
Will you hang on a sec, Suzanne? I want to bring in Brigitte.
Yes, hi, Kate.
How are you? You have more lived experience yourself, Brigitte.
Yeah, my son is 18 and has Down syndrome. Now, we don't necessarily go to Emerald Park, but I'm picking up what people are saying. What you do want to do with your child or young adult or whatever is spontaneity, and having to have a card takes away that spontaneity. And with Down syndrome, we don't have a membership card. So contrary to what it may say in an email or a letter, we do not get a membership card when you join Down Syndrome Ireland. You pay your membership money, but you don't get an actual card to say you're a member. So if we go somewhere with my son, it's down to him having his public service card, which shows he needs a companion to travel with him on a train or a bus or something like that. But we don't have any sort of membership card. So if he goes out with his brothers or sisters, they have to now pay full price if places want a membership card because they don't have it. And they don't have a family carer's card either, which I may have, which I pay every year to have this card, which will allow me as his carer get in somewhere free. So the whole thing is wrong, and it's not targeting one disability over another. It's targeting any disability, having a rule like that.
Brigitte, have you ever been asked for documentation to prove that your son has Down syndrome?
Once, many, many years ago. I mean, I suppose we're lucky in the sense that it's what I call a visible disability. So even recently, travelling through Dublin Airport, we didn't have to have a Lanard special assistance. There was a queue and the staff at Dublin Airport were absolutely amazing and brought us to the top of the queue. We were going over to the UK. Coming back, I was given a Lanard by somebody to beat the queues in Birmingham Airport, and that helped us.
Yeah.
So, yes, I have been asked for a card. It was many, many years ago in Dublin Zoo. They asked.
Really?
But he was small, he was in a buggy.
Right. And did you have something to give them?
No, I just kind of said, well, that's in there, you know, make the decision. And the staff were very good and they said, you know, we can see, that's fine.
Yeah.
No problem.
Well, I mean, that's what you kind of expect, isn't it? That somebody that, you know, they have to ask the question, but that they will immediately acknowledge. Yeah.
But it is a visible disability, so it's a plus if you want to take it like that.
Yeah.
It would be very hard for somebody to argue, but I've never heard of a Special Olympics membership card. We don't have one of those, and we are a member of a Special Olympics club. But it's very, very difficult, and it's very unfair on young staff that would work in the likes of Emerald Park that have to deliver this message. We would be very similar. Mark is included in everything. We try not to, you know, make him look stand out and be separate. He doesn't like queuing though. It would be, you know, it's beneficial if we don't have to queue.
Yeah.
But just would like to point it out that if Emerald Park are looking for a membership card, there is not a membership card
from Down Syndrome Ireland. Okay, well, that's from their actual email.
Yeah, you can apply for a letter, but that, as I say, takes away spontaneity.
Yeah.
And not everybody is a member, maybe, of Down syndrome. How do you prove that this person? But there is abuse. There is abuse, Katie. I think that that needs to be pointed out. I've seen it from when it was Tato Park, that there are people will abuse if they think they're saving money.
Really? You think many people would actually rock up claiming to be disabled when they're not?
Yeah. for a disability, yeah. I would like to say to those people, come and walk in our shoes and live our lives. Yeah. And, you know, saving your money is that's not what it's not about saving money.
Well, I have to say, yeah. That would be, I think, beneath contempt, really, the idea that you would actually pretend to have a disability in order to save a few quid to get into some venue. Brigitte, thanks for that. I want to bring in Dave now. Dave, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you? I was just listening to the two ladies there and that gentleman speaking about their situation. I'm involved with a special needs rugby team. Mm-hmm. And we're doing it about 14 years now up in De La Salle, Palmerston, up in Kilternan. And it has transformed not only the players' lives, but the other members in the club who would never have experienced people with special needs.
You see, this is it. I think this is a huge thing that people need more exposure. If you don't have somebody with additional needs in your own family, that you, as you say. So tell me the thinking behind putting together this team in the first place, Dave.
Well, I was approached by a friend of mine from Seapoint Rugby Club, and he asked us in De La Salle Palmerston and also the lads in Greystones, would we consider setting up a tag rugby team for players with special needs? Now, to be honest, Casey, at the time, I wasn't even sure what he was talking about in relation to people with special needs. And then he explained the whole thing to me. And then I got in touch with a friend of mine, James Jones from Cheeverstown. And he said, no problem, I'll get you players. And the next Sunday, he came up with 10 players. Now we'd have about 25 players. But not only have we got 25 players, there's about nearly 25 clubs in Leinster alone now have a special needs tag rugby team. And from then, about just pre-COVID, then we set up a mixed ability full contact rugby team. So you'd have players with special needs who we'd call star players, and then facilitators who would be players who would be able-bodied players who might have a bit of experience, and they would play on the pitch just the same as everybody else. And it's great fun. Nobody goes out to, you know, everybody goes out to play rugby, and there are special circumstances if somebody has special needs that, you know, you're not going to put them into the middle of next week. Like Paul O'Connell's not going to come out to play against us, but he might.
I'm glad to hear it. Yeah. Well, it is tag rugby. It's not full contact rugby. Yeah.
The Vikings, our team called the Vikings, is full contact.
Oh, is it?
It is full contact rugby, and we have players with special needs playing it. And you know, like nobody goes out. The game is, if you like, balanced, and it's very good fun, and a lot of people enjoy it. And we're now, the Vikings now have been selected to go to the World Cup in Spain next year. So that's a big deal. And the lads are training, even during the summer now, every Monday night for an hour, just in preparation for it. So the build-up has started. But
you were saying, what it does to the rest of the club, for the rest of the players.
Well, what it does to the rest of the club, when we started off first, like, we were a bit of a spectacle on the side of the pitch. Oh, what's going on here? Who are these guys here? Now it's, hey, Big Barry, how's it going? Hello, Simon. Hey, I am Mark. Everybody knows all that. They go up to the clubhouse, they, you know, sit in the clubhouse the same as any other member. But we also get teams from within the club, like, say, under 12s or the under 14s or whatever, to come and play against our lads. And that just gives a whole new perspective on people with special needs, because then they understand what's happening. They just the acceptability of it is there when they're exposed to players with special needs. And if you're somebody who has never been exposed to somebody with, you don't really know what to do or how to treat them.
Yeah.
You know, that's what somebody needs to do in a training to get experience or go to some club or something like that. Come up to our
Dave.
I'm the way to talking.
Yeah, Dave. I'm sorry. Your line is dropping off a bit on us there. We might try and sort that out. We've got a sense of what you're saying. Basically, is that it's interacting, bringing people into a club atmosphere like that, and suddenly you realise we're all the same, basically, on a very basic level, and it really changes how people interact with people with those additional needs. Can I bring in Niamh? Niamh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Casey.
Yes, Niamh, you called in about, you're talking about being with a group of girl guides.
Yeah, so I'm a guide leader here in Cork, and just similar experience dealing with Emerald Park. We took a group of girls up on a bus, and one of the girls had, I suppose, additional needs, so her mum came along, being her official carer, came along. And I contacted Emerald Park ahead of our trip to find out what did I need to do, and that was, so got everything, at all. As far as I was concerned, I had my ducks in a row. Mm-hmm. And then when we got there then, at the gate, when we went up to collect the tickets, the mum asked, would she come up with me? And I said, yeah, no bothers. And that's where we ran into trouble with the girls at the door when we were collecting the group tickets. Again, her carer's ID that she carries with her wasn't good enough. And now eventually it got sorted, but we were left very uncomfortable and the poor mum was very upset. Now, the child didn't see this, but, you know, which was a good thing. But at the same time, you know, I suppose it feeds into what the other callers are saying, that maybe they do need to have additional training. If they're going to be offering tickets like that, and if they are going to be people, you know, that they're going to make people jump through an additional hoop to say, to get the ticket, get access to the ticket, then it's like the staff need to be trained better on what it is that they're asking and how to deal with the people standing up at the gate.
Okay, can I just go back to this? You said you actually called, because they did mention that, yeah, in that statement, yeah, that you can also call to smooth the, yeah, path, basically. And at that stage, did they say what you needed to bring with you when you made that phone call?
Yeah, it was just, you just needed to have, you know, some sort of identification to say that you were a carer the child had needs, you know. And the mother has her official, I'm not a parent, so I don't know what identifications that you need to get in order to become a child's carer.
You see, I'm looking, sorry.
She has whatever she, yeah, needed.
But Niamh, I'm just looking at the email that Darren received when he booked his additional needs ticket, and it does actually specifically say carer identification on its own will not be sufficient. So that wasn't made, yeah, clear to you, was it, when you called?
No. And then you're having to deal with a very upset parent who is now talking about going back to her child and pulling her child and going sitting on the bus for the day.
It's just all very upset. All of this, I can just absolutely, because God knows when you are, you know, a parent in that scenario, you know, you're carrying a lot anyway. And these situations, I imagine, must be just so, so upsetting.
It was very upsetting because, like, you know, again, I'm there with the other leader and we have a group of children. We have about 20 or 30, we have about 30 children with us. We have a couple of other adult helpers with us and mammies that came along to help out. And then you're kind of standing there scratching your head going, well, if one child can't get in, do we all not get in? And we're after spending 3 hours on a bus to get up here and all the kids are excited.
Yeah. It's not a scenario you want to find yourself in, for sure.
No, I mean, I think, like, if a parent has a child with special needs and has a carer's badge, maybe it's time that they looked at relaxing, changing their rules around the, you know, I suppose the identification or the paperwork that they are now currently saying that people need to have in order for them to access this particular ticket.
Yeah. Niamh, thank you for that. And I'm going to go to a break. Darren, I'll give you the last word on this. A lot of support there from callers coming in for you and for Clifford.
Yeah, and it seems like it's not the first time it's happened. I honestly don't know what the answer is. Maybe if they offered a refund scheme or something so that the people aren't put into the position on the day and that they can maybe get what they have paid refunded with the proper documentation that they require. But yeah, I don't think addressing this at the door with the person with special needs there standing watching is the ideal situation to be in.
No, nobody should have to have their, you know, to have themselves being judged like that in those circumstances. I'm really sorry that you had to have that yesterday, Darren, but thank you for calling in. I hope the conversation has made some impact and we'll hear about that down the line.
That's great, and thanks very much for taking my call.
Thanks, Darren.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Now, in breaking news, Nathan Carter is going to jail this evening. He's going in voluntarily, though, because he is actually playing a gig in Castlereagh Prison. Nathan Carter Locked Up is the title of the event. It's a fundraiser for some really worthy charities in the area. But it is the audience is going to be made up of the staff of the prison and a large number of invited guests. The actual residents of the prison are not actually invited to be part of that audience. They're going to be able to watch it. Apparently, it'll be recorded and broadcast internally. There's a prisoner TV channel, which I didn't know existed, but apparently there is. And they'll be able to watch it on their tellies, but they will not be actually part of that audience. Of course, all of this idea of country music stars performing inside prisons goes back. You obviously think right away to Johnny Cash and Folsom Prison Blues. Of course, the thing about Johnny Cash, and he played in lots of prisons, San Quentin being the most notorious, I suppose, but he played for the prisoners, and that was it actually marked the revival of Johnny Cash's career way back then. But that hasn't been that's not the plan for Nathan Carter. PJ McAvoy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
You spent a lot of time in prison yourself, PJ.
I did. I most certainly did. 35 years, in fact.
Yeah, you were wearing the uniform, though.
Yeah, I was, for a period. And I was General Secretary and President then for a number of years as well.
Of the Prison Officers Association.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, what did you make of this when you heard that Nathan was going inside the walls of Castlereagh Prison?
I thought it was fabulous. I thought it was absolutely fabulous. I know Kate and Nathan have been at his dances and his music concerts and whatever. And there's lots of fabulous actors in Ireland and concerts and whatever.
PJ, can I stop you one sec? Yeah. Are you on a speaker by any chance? If I could ask you.
No.
Oh, no, because it sounds slightly like you're on a speaker. Okay, if you're just maybe. If you can be careful
now,
to talk.
Is it any better now? I just moved that phone.
That is better now. That is better. Thanks, PJ. Yeah. So you were saying, go on.
But I mean, the whole purpose of concerts in the prisons, and I was involved in an issue in Mountjoy, for instance, some years back, to have concerts within the prison environment, and prisoners themselves used to participate in the acting. And we used to invite guests in as well as the prisoners. So, I mean, that's the whole purpose. It's part of a rehabilitation. Why would you have a concert of, you know, the likes of Nathan Carter attending and no prisoners? So the whole purpose of going to a prison is because there's prisoners in that. You could have the concert somewhere else. But, I mean, it's part of a rehabilitation. It's good for prisoners. It's good for the goodwill between prison staff and prisoners. And they have always behaved. I remember going back years in Mountjoy, we used to have regular concerts and people used to participate. There was never any issues. And you go back to San Quentin when Johnny Cash played. Sure, the whole atmosphere of that concert, which was became so famous around the world, was the fact of the participation of prisoners. Sure, they didn't want prison officers sitting in the concert looking up and waving their hand at them. That's not the whole purpose at all. I think it's a complete defeatist attitude to do that tonight. I think it's so wrong.
I just say what, because we were in touch with the prison to see what the thinking behind it was. They're telling us, this is what they told the team, that there was no dissatisfaction from prisoners about the setup for this tonight, that they say it was not operationally possible to have a concert of this scale for the prisoners because there would be huge security issues. They say country music might not be everyone's cup of tea, but they've had very positive feedback. And they say some prisoners even made donations to the charities out of their own pocket money, they say.
Oh yes, I can understand that, because it's a charity purpose. But what is the point of bringing Nathan Carter into Mountjoy or into Castlereagh tonight? Could he go somewhere else and have the same purpose where people who normally attend these functions would be there? Why would you go into a prison and not have the prisoners? If it's for donations and for charity, of course it's charity.
I'm thinking.
But you're at the feet, so.
I know, sorry, PJ. I'm just thinking. Is it? I mean, I suppose it is the the uniqueness of the setting and the thrill of actually being close to, you know, the sulfur of being inside the prison walls, that's actually what's selling some of those tickets. I believe there's going to be 300 people in the prison for the event. So I imagine that's probably part of it. But I mean, I'm hearing what you're saying. It just, I was astonished myself, I have to say, when I saw that this prison gig was not going to be played to prisoners.
Well, Kira, if that's the case, you could go to the National Concert Hall. You could have Nathan Carton playing for whatever charity, and you'd have it very, very, you'd probably have a lot more in a situation like that. But if you go into a prison, prisons about prisoners. It's about prisoners and prison officers. That's the whole purpose of a prison. One is serving time, and the other people are supervising. That's the reality. So you're going in to have a concert. You're removing the prisoners, the offenders, and I think it's good. They're forgetting one very important point. It would be good to include the prisoners in a concert of that magnitude. And for anybody that ever saw the concert, and we still see clips of it in LPs and whatever, and videos of Johnny Cash in San Quentin. So the whole story of Johnny Cash in San Quentin was in the front of offenders. There was nobody shot. There was nobody in any great trouble or whatever. And there would be probably 5 or 6 or 7 or maybe 1,000 people attended that concert in San Quentin. So here you're only talking about maybe 50 to 100 max. I think it defeats, and I think it creates a separation then between prisoners and staff. Because if you bring in a concert and you have a concert of the magnitude of Nathan Carter attending into Castlereagh Prison tonight, and you leave prisoners out, I think the whole thing is defeated. I think it defeats the whole purpose, and particularly if we all have, and we're all supposed to have, the interest of rehabilitation and, you know, trying to get people to tune in all in one big family. As it has happened for years. When I was General Secretary, I introduced the concerts into Mountjoy, and people came in and they acted, and even the prisoners acted. And some of them went on to become very, 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 very famous afterwards. And there was never any problem. There was never any problem. So what's changed? What's changed?
Is it, I mean, I'm sure there are people out there that would say, well, you know, you don't go to prison to be entertained by Nathan Carter. You know what I mean? That there should be a separation between what the prisoners get to enjoy and what the prison officers get to enjoy.
Yes, but I can understand that. I can understand that comment. But the reality is not factual. Because prison officers doesn't have to wait for Nathan Carter to come in. He's not putting on a program for prison officers. Prison officers go, like every other human being, to concerts outside. And I've been to Nathan Carter's concert, and I'm an ex-prison officer, and I've met prison officers at it. But I think you're creating the wrong feeling here altogether. You're putting on a show for prison officers. I've never heard that in my life. Never. So there's a cost involved as well. So why would you leave one group, the most important, prisons are about prisoners. That's what prisons are for. And you're now saying they'll go back into their little cell, they look at this on a 21-inch or a 19-inch television, and the staff are all down in a free programme looking. I don't believe that prison officers, you across the board, would welcome that. I doubt that. I would doubt that. And it's certainly contrary. Certainly it's contrary to rehabilitation, to having good relationships with offenders. Why not? Isn't that what prison's about? Isn't that why he's coming into the concert? Why would Nathan Carter come into a prison to play for a group of prison officers when they can go outside any night of the week and sit down and bring their family with them and look at it? I think it's totally defeated. I think it's totally defeated.
In terms of when you are in a prison like that, and Castlereagh would have a fairly big, you know, diverse mix of prisoners as well.
Yes.
How important is it that the morale of the prisoners is kept up from your staff's point of view?
Well, I think inclusiveness is important. I think inclusiveness is important. And I think it was a great opportunity, and it would be great for the PR of the prison service, and very good for relationships between offenders and, I mean, who are also human beings, and prison officers, that could go that they could go down to that recreation hall tonight, and they all could sit together. There's behaviour issues that would be all clarified, and there'd be proper security aspects of it all put in place, and they all could sit down and watch a concert of Nathan Carter. So they're up in the cell now tonight, the offenders. Good people, mixed people, all sorts of people. People who have broken the law for various reasons. We don't adjudicate on that. It's the courts that adjudicate on that. They're in the prison where there's a man playing tonight, and they have to sit in their cell looking at the television. And I don't believe for a moment that's the choice of the offenders. I put my life on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I should say again, just remind people, it is for charitable purposes. Guests are being asked to make a donation. The charities are the Paediatric Ward in Sligo General Hospital, Roscommon Youth Services, and Mayo Roscommon Hospice. So, you know, there's no question, but they're very worthy charities.
But Katie, there's nobody arguing about that aspect of it. Of course that's important. But the bottom line is, remember, it's not in Croke Park this is taking place. It's not in the National Concert Hall. It's taking place in a prison. A prison is where there's offenders. That's what prisons are for. So there's a man coming in tonight to entertain, and there's money going to be obtained for charities. And they're excluding the offenders. Are you telling me for a moment that there wouldn't be as much, if not more, money obtained if the offenders were all participating? Why would they be kept out? I just can't understand. It's a prison. It's a prison. It's a prison atmosphere. And prisons are built for offenders. And there's going to be a concert, and they're going to have all prison officers and other guests. And the people who the
live there
are totally removed from it. It doesn't make sense.
PJ, hang on there, will you? I need to take a break, but there's other calls coming in on this. We'll go back to them after these.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And we're talking about Nathan Carter's prison concert in Castlereagh Prison this evening at 7:30 to 9 o'clock this evening, that he will be playing to prison officers and guests, but not to the prisoners. Gerry, good afternoon.
How are you, Katie? Good to talk to you.
What do you make of this one?
Well, I taught for many years in school for adolescents, young offenders, and we asked lots of people, Bruce Shields and many others, and it was really a great event any time they came up, and it was terrific for the pupils themselves. They took great comfort from this, and it inspired them to play guitar and to sing and to do all those things. It was a great thing. And I suppose I'm questioning, Katie, I'm scratching my head as to what is the meaning? Why has it been done? Because I think of Mount Joy also, and there's been some great acts gone to Mount Joy, Andrew Strong from the Quitmans, and his dad used to work there teaching music. But also Christy Moore went there a couple of times. And it would be definitely for the prisoners. And Christy would ask afterwards now what prisoners couldn't come, or what prisoners were locked up or who were in the basement. And he'd go in and sing a song in their cell for them, that type of thing. So that's the kind of atmosphere I'd like to see if stars are going to prisons. That it's actually for the prisoners they're going.
Yeah. And the child and the adolescent, that was a remand service. So those children were locked up as well.
Oh, yeah. It'd be like Overstown is now. Oh, you know, that you'd, similar to that.
And there was a lot of stars would come in there and play for those teenagers.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how keen people were. Like comedians, Brendan O'Carroll would come in, lots of people like that, Bruce Shields, and I'm trying to remember some of the names now. I'm getting on a bit myself, Katie, and one terrific guy, maybe you can help me remember the name. He plays the mouth organ, but he also sings blues as well. He, for a while, was in Fair City.
Oh, I know.
He's a great...
Don Baker.
Yeah. No? Exactly. Yeah. Don Baker. Now, there was one lad I remember saw Don and spoke to him afterwards, and he took up the guitar himself, and he went on to be a great guitarist himself. You know, so, they were the kind of people that came in.
So you're basically with PJ in this. You can't understand why Nathan has gone into a prison and not playing for prisoners.
yeah, I don't want to be down on Nathan because I like him and I like his music and I think he's great. And it's probably for the best of reasons that he's gone and money is going to be made for those charities. I prefer it to be more focused on the prisoners, just be my preference, and that any money raised will go towards prison charities for trying to integrate prisoners afterwards when they leave prison. That's just my view on it, Katie.
Thank you for that, Gerry. Appreciate that. Can I bring in Dermot now? Dermot, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Yeah, you have a different point of view on this one, Dermot.
I do, and I can't get my head around this at all. It's the same when the guy from Rory Stories was doing the football thing in the prison. These prisoners, and as DJ used the word, offenders, he used it quite a lot. Why should they have the luxury of a concert? I just can't get my head around it.
Well,
they're in prison for a reason. They're there to be punished.
Well, I think PJ was making the point that we are supposed to be, you know, engaged in rehabilitation as well, and that this is good for the morale of the whole prison community.
Look, I don't know. You have to think of the victims, right? There's very few prisoners in prison that haven't affected victims. Luckily, I'm not one. If I was, and the perpetrator was in prison for hurting me or doing harm to me or my family in some way, I think I'd be quite cheesed off with the fact that he's sitting in there where he's supposed to be getting punished and he's listening to a concert.
PJ, are you still with us?
Teddy, yes.
I'm sure, I mean, you'll have heard that point of view before in terms of, you know...
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And look, everybody has a view in relation to prisons and how prisons should be run. But the reality is we have human beings and they are offenders. And of course, some of them have committed horrific crimes, horrific crimes. And I have spoke out on national media. I went on the television over an offender who committed murder. And I spoke about the negativities of how they're being treated and the positivities. It's not our prison officers, it's not our function to adjudicate inside in the prison about prisoners in relation to what they've done. Of course, some prisoners have committed horrific crimes and a lot of families have suffered quite a lot as a result of offenders. But having said all that, do we just forget about it, get the keys thrown away? It's good to have some effort made. That I always believe that when a prisoner leaves prison after whatever period of time, he should be a better human being coming back into society than he was the day he went into the prison. And we have to treat them. We have to treat them like human beings. Some people have regularly said to me, PJ, why are you talking about prisoners? I'm talking about prisoners because I worked with them. And we have, every one of us has an obligation to make that human being, as I said, a better human being leaving the prisons. I remember when I joined force, I remember prisoners being released in Mount Jai. And they were going down, before they hit the road, they were breaking into houses. And the reason why, would you believe it, to go back into prison. They had nowhere to go, they had no jobs, they had no education, and that's what we were confronted with. And so what do? Peg away all of the opportunities to do something for human beings. I've met some of the best people in my life in prison. Some great people. Both staff-wise, professional staff, and offenders. And I would like to think that the rest of my life, I will continue that belief. Because we all have an obligation to try to make these people better human beings. And there were some fabulous people came through. Don Baker was mentioned. I know Don Baker. I met him. In my capacity of working in the prison. And great people, but I think it's so wrong. I think it's so wrong to have such a high-profile individual having a concert tonight in that prison and all the profile that goes with it. And all the people that's in it, they're locked up, looking at a little television, listening to it. Sure, it's belittling the prisoners. It's actually belittling the prisoners. And it is a great opportunity. And I can guarantee you the staff will be delighted the staff would be delighted to have the prisoners in the recreation hall tonight listening to the concert.
What about,
that's what we do.
But I suppose Dermot's point, PJ, just to make it again, is that there are victims of some of those prisoners' crimes that would be quite happy to see those prisoners in their cells and not out absolutely. Enjoying tapping their toes to Nathan Carter.
No, absolutely. I agree with 100%. Just make that come back to that point. I agree with that 100%. But what does that do? What do we do? Bring them in and beat them. I remember many years ago.
Well, we're not talking about beating them now. We're just saying maybe not allowing them to watch the concerts. Yeah.
No, that's the point I'm making.
Yeah.
I'm just saying we have to, and I thought it was a great opportunity. Take Johnny Cash when he was in San Quentin. If there was no prisoners, only prison officers there, do you think it would have got the same publicity? It would have got the same effect? It was supposed to have a massive effect. It still has, actually. To say, I know of a friend of mine that worked in it at the time. He's an elderly man now, and he often told me the effect it actually had on morale between the jailers, as they called them then in America, and the offenders. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. And I think we had a great opportunity lost tonight, that when the concert takes place, that it is about offenders. Because the bottom line is, just think, it's a concert in a prison. So if it's a concert in a prison, it's not only common sense, it's offenders that's going to the concert.
Yeah.
It's like there's a football match in Crow Park. You expect footballers going out and playing in the football match. But I think it's a missed opportunity, because the most important, and I want to make this point as my absolute, this is rehabilitation. No matter whether we like it, and a lot of us don't like it, a lot of us don't agree with this, but we have people serving times, and there's people tonight in Castlereagh, and they'll be sitting in their cells, where they should be sitting in the recreation hall looking to that concert. That's my opinion on this.
Okay, PJ, hang on there. We have to take another break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
I want to bring in Sean Connors now. Sean, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Katie. How are you?
Very well, Sean. Now, Sean, you were a guard in your past life, so you've had...
I was a guard in my past life.
And a comedian in your more recent life.
Nice, yes, that's correct.
But you have been behind bars many times.
I have.
As a performer.
I performed in Mountjoy, Strangeways in Manchester, St. Patrick's in Dublin, Sky Ladies Prison in Manchester, and it was all the prisoners. The hall in the Strangeways jail, there was about 500 people, and they were all prisoners. And it was great. We did one in St. Patrick's in Dublin there, and Linda Martin was doing it. And I can't see how the prisoners are not going to these, because it's a bit of rehabilitation for them, I think.
What's it like, Sean? Were you doing stand-up comedy? Is that you're
doing stand-up? Yeah.
What's it like doing stand-up in a prison? Is it different from any other kind of audience?
It's no different. They're all people. They just sit there and listen. They don't heckle you. Don't do anything like that. You know.
Are they maybe more appreciative than your average Friday night audience?
I'd say they'd be more appreciative, really, because they see so little when they're in there.
Yeah.
Like, they don't get a concert every week.
And was there a difference between, say, the Irish prison audiences, the prisoners here, say, in Mountjoy and St. Pat's, to Strangeways and the women's prison in the UK?
They're pretty much basically the same. I would say, but you know, Nathan is just doing a gig.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's I'm doing actually a cruise with him pretty shortly in the Greek islands.
Very nice.
Sometime in August. Well, it'll be my last gig because I haven't worked since COVID, and I'm doing this last one. It's the last array. I'm 86 now.
Oh my gosh! Fair play to you, Sean. Fair play.
It's time to call it quits. So this is my last one. It's an American company that are doing it, and it's a week on the Greek islands. So that's what I'd be doing, and pretending to be a good boy, and I will never stand on another stage.
Going back to our prison issue. Do you think Nathan made a mistake here by, you know, not asking for the prisoners to be part of this?
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, he hasn't got much say in the whole thing. I mean, obviously, that's what the charity want.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be his decision, I would say.
I don't know. I wonder, would Johnny Cash have agreed to go and play in a prison without the prisoners being able to see him?
I don't know. I never met the man, unfortunately.
anyway, Sean, you've enjoyed your prison performances.
I did, yeah. I thought it was a great experience. And, you know, between Mountjoy, Strangers in Manchester, that's a huge prison.
Yeah.
And unbelievable, you know. There was a fellow, a friend of mine was in the prison at the time, and his name was Bill Bailey. And I finished up by singing, "Bill Bailey, won't you please come home?"
Was it appreciated?
It was, yeah, because I had a drink from later on when he got out.
Great. Sean, thanks a million. I have to take my last break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Can I bring in Johnny now? Johnny, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, how are you?
I'm good, and I believe you have also played to prisoners.
Yes, we did my own band, Tin as Lizzie. We're a tribute, obviously, to Tin Lizzie and the great Philip Lynott. And we played in Wheatfield Prison then a number of years ago in the afternoon, and we got a small fee for tea and sandwiches, and it was a great experience for me.
And how was that set up, Johnny? Just in,
I think that it was kind of, we were putting on our CV, you know, like the management decided this would be something, you know, to give us a little bit of street cred or something like that, and we decided to do it. We thought it was a good idea, and the prisoners were there, and it was a safe environment. Like we were brought in secure, and we were watched and everything. There was quite a high stage, but there's a venue in the place, you know what I mean?
Wheatfield is a remand prison, isn't it? So it,
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But the guys come out and they actually, you know, started dancing and stuff like that. And one just jumped up and said, "Play the boys are back in town," and buzzed off. And that was very comical, you know.
But so a really good atmosphere then.
Yeah, well, it was something you wouldn't ordinarily do. So it was a new experience and something that was, you know, I'm grateful to have done. You know, and I think it's a good thing to do. But I think you'd have to include the prisoners if you're doing a gig. You know, I think it's the essence of it would be to have everybody there. You know,
absolutely, Johnny. Thank you for that. I'm almost out of time. I'll just, PJ, I've only got 30 seconds.
Yes,
final
okay,
word.
Well, just, I think it's a complete and absolute disaster to have a concert in a prison where the top artist is playing and you have your prisoners all sitting in their cell looking at the concert on their little small televisions when they're the people who create the atmosphere. I can tell you one thing, as good as Nathan Carter is, to go into that concert minus the prisoners, it won't have a fraction of the atmosphere. Not a fraction. And it's totally contrary to rehabilitation that we're all so concerned about.
Yeah.
We are all trying to get people coming out of prison better human beings than they went into it.
Yeah.
And I think tonight it was a negativity all the way.
Okay, PJ, I have to go. Thanks for that. Appreciate your time and your call. We will leave it there. On sound today, we had Ruth Kennington. Our broadcast coordinator was Shane Galvin. Research was by Jim O'Donoghue. And our producer was Tara Lockery-Grant. Stand by now for Ray.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Summer's here. Spruce up your bedroom for less with our sizzling summer sale offers at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.